Today's guest on Medios Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN show is Tommy Piriev, an embedded engineer and founder of NulliLab, who's carved out a fascinating niche at the edge of LoRa and IoT. Tommy's background started in the drone world, where he was building UAVs for agricultural mapping. When the off-the-shelf telemetry and tracking modules failed to perform, too bulky, too power-hungry, too unreliable, he began developing his own. That journey led him to LoRa, and eventually to the creation of LOKO, L-O-K-O, a tiny off-grid GPS tracker designed for drones, farms, forests, and even skydiving missions. LOKO is not a LoRaWAN device, at least not by default. It uses peer-to-peer LoRa to transmit GPS data from its air unit, a fingertip-sized beacon, to a personal ground receiver, which in turn talks to your phone over Bluetooth. Everything works offline with OpenStreetMap for navigation. No SIM, no subscription, no monthly fees. But what makes this conversation special isn't just the tech, it's the design philosophy. Tommy's focused on building ultra-low power, high-performance tools that just work anywhere. And despite the Silicon Valley temptation, NulliLab remains bootstrapped, open source, and customer first. Let's dig in. Tommy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
I'm pumped. It's super cool. You're in the LoRa, but not in LoRaWAN sphere yet. And you're doing this tracking thing. But before we get into LOKO and NulliLabs, tell me what you were doing before that. What brought you here?
Yeah, before the NulliLab, I had a small company, a drone company, and we were manufacturing small drones for the agriculture purposes. So we were going to the field and scanning the field and getting data. And during that time, we were using some telemetry modules in the drones, and we found that they're not reliable, and they're using high energy, and that they're bulky, and also the cost. And we started to develop our own telemetry modules, and that's how I met the LoRa. We tested a bunch of radio devices, and then we tested the LoRa, and we found that the LoRa is very long range and very low power, and also cost effective. And then we developed our own telemetry modules specifically for the drones. And then once when we were showing our drones to our customers and customers asked, can you put a GPS device on a drone in case if something happens? So we are carrying an expensive camera so we can find it. I said, sure. And I found that I searched on the internet and there are a bunch of GPS trackers in the market. So I bought one of them and attached, and they use a SIM card. And I attached SIM card and set everything. Everything works fine. I went to the field and fly. And then I checked my cell phone and there's no network. And then I searched the internet, is there any offline GPS trackers? And surprisingly, very few of them. And they are very DIY. And they are also beacons. And I found that beacons like transmitting the signal and with the receivers finding where the signals come from. And I attached this one to the drone and went to the field and flew, tried it, but it is very hard to use. It's not really for the consumers. And then how I started to make an offline GPS trackers where people can use in rural areas and they can easily find on the map where the device is.
And that's how you got here. Okay, so
yeah.
And what we're talking about now with LOKO and with NulliLabs is a device. It's basically a two-piece set or like a one-piece ground unit and then up to, what was it, 30 air tags or air units?
Yes. A LOKO is a two devices. One of them is a receiver and one of them is a transmitter. And it doesn't work other way around. So it is just a simple software. One of them just only transmit and other one only receives. And also, you can connect multiple of transmitter to a single receiver. So if you set the same pairing ID with the ground unit, so they will pair with the same ground unit, and it will show on the LOKO app on the smartphone, and the ground unit transmit the data to the smartphone via Bluetooth. And it shows on them offline. Its application is also offline because many maps like Apple Map or the Google Map, they are not offline. They have offline, but they don't provide API. So in our application, we cannot use Google or Apple Map. So we integrated OpenStreetMap, which a user can download it in advance, and it's stored on the phone. And even there is no network in the phone, in LOKO application, you can open the map and locate where the devices are located.
Got it. So you're basically, if I'm getting this right, you're adding more or less a LoRa radio to your phone, is the kind of clunky way for me to think about it, and that is receiving. And then on the other end are the air units, which are the LOKO, the little red balls that we've seen with the antenna. And those are about the size of your fingertip. And those are transmitting. So those transmit
the ground unit that's basically attached to your phone, although it's, I think, by Bluetooth, is receiving and everything is happening offline. So if you, even if you don't have internet connectivity, you basically have this radio connected to your phone that will provide coverage for anything that the ground unit can see. Am I getting that generally right?
Yes, it's correct.
Okay, super cool. And I think the stuff that stood out is, A, you're a super nerd, which is awesome. The fact that you kind of built this thing to work and with a mix of off-the-shelf hardware, which allowed you to really go past the kind of certification and the huge pain in the butt that all of that stuff is using, was it the Wii O 5?
Yes, Wii O 5. It is not actually the main reason that we used for the certification Wii O 5, actually, because when I started this project, it was right after the COVID, and there was a shortage of the microcontrollers. And the Seed, they have a contract with the STM, and they don't have this kind of issue. So if I use the Wii chip, and then I don't have to worry about the chip shortage.
Yep. No, it's super, super smart what you've done. And then I thought the other thing that was really cool was that the Air unit, which is receiving GPS signals and then transmitting them, and it's receiving from multiple constellations. So in the GNSS world, most of us think about kind of GPS just being the thing, at least in the US, but there are multiple constellations in the sky run by different countries that are doing the same kind of GPS or GNSS technology. And what you've done is say, hey, this Air unit can listen to anything, whether it's GLONASS or the American system or the Chinese system, which is Baidu, right? I think it can listen to a couple of them.
Yes, it can listen to Baidu, GLONASS, and another one, the Russian one.
Yeah. It's on the tip of my tongue as well. GNSS is like my second thing, my second language after LoRaWAN. Okay, super cool. So one of the things I've seen in this world of LoRa and LoRaWAN is, and we're seeing this happen in Meshtastic right now, is once kind of the average consumer, although all of them are a little bit nerdy just to be using it, once they discover LoRa, they're like, oh, cool. Can I put this onto a LoRaWAN? Can I start having it so that if I've got these Air units out, can I have, for example, Helium as a community network or whatever it is, whether it's Netmore or any of the PNOs out there, can I also have them listen for these signals? And I know the first answer is always, no, that's not how it works. But on the roadmap going forward, do you think that's going to be something where you're like, hey, these LoRaWAN networks or these LoRaWANs are out there, we might as well see if we can use them to listen for signals?
I can answer as it's already done. It's already in the firmware of the LoRa Air, so you can set to connect the LoRaWAN, because many customers from the countries like United States or Norway or Germany, they have already established the gateways.
Super cool. Okay, so you can do that right off. Great. So the answer is not no. I was wrong. That's always good to be wrong about something being better.
No, I always listen to customers.
Yeah, that is something that comes through in all of these episodes, is that you really have to, you're designing for the customer. So that's actually a nice question, is who are the customers? Like, who did you originally design this for? Some like lost drone or, you know, losing drone operators, but who else will use this thing?
Customers are mainly from the farmings, and they want to track the people in the farms, equipments in the farms. Before, I was living in Ukraine, so there was very big farms and the big farming companies. They want to track every equipment, where they are located, where the people are. Also, they are optimizing their routes in the farms by tracking devices.
Got it. And how often is the loco transmitting? Is it every couple seconds, every couple minutes?
No, it depends. Transmit interval user can set. So
okay.
When first time you bought, you have to set the transmit interval. So you can transmit every 30 seconds or 60 seconds, and it also affects the battery life.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I've seen on our websites, so it can go up to a year, but it depends on the transmit interval. If you make short transmit intervals, so it can go up to a year.
Yeah. So if it's transmitting every hour, no problem. If it's transmitting every 30 seconds, I'm guessing it's not going to last quite that long.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So drones, farms, who else is using this?
I have very diverse customers. So from United States, I have customers they are using. They have sensors in the forest and the scientists. And they also have a LoRaWAN network in the area. They are putting loco on these sensors. So next time when they go there, they can find the location easily.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So it makes it much easier to find the second time. And I've had problems with that where you put something out and you're like, there's no way I'll forget where this is. And then you go back there 6 months later, and you're like, God, was it that rock outcropping or that rock outcropping? So I can see that being super useful.
Exactly. And also one of the clients using for skydiving. And they also use connected to LoRaWAN, I know. And also for the search and rescue teams, we are I'm talking with the search and rescue team from Nevada. They are integrating to their map system and to track their drones for the search and rescue purposes.
Okay. Oh, super cool. Now, is it something where it can switch back and forth between sending to the ground unit and sending to a LoRaWAN, or it sends to both? Or do you have to make the choice like, hey, this time that I send it out?
Yeah, you have to set in advance to work with the LoRaWAN or the peer-to-peer.
Okay. Super cool, dude. And then talk to me about the business side of this. I know this is open source, so you kind of give away like, hey, this is how to do it if you want to do it yourself. But there's plenty of people out there who don't want to do it. What does the business side of Noli Labs look like? Are you just making money selling these things? Is there an ongoing subscription? What does that look like?
No, there will not be any subscription. So just in advance, from the start of the beginning, so we will not have any subscription or additional fee. Everything will be clear and open source. And we are just making money from selling the hardware.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm sure the Silicon Valley folks are like, no, you've got to do a subscription. But it's super cool to think about the ability to use technology to say, hey, I buy this once, I lock in my price, and then I can track anything, anywhere, anytime with my own private network or with the LoRaWAN.
Everything, including the phone application, smartphone application, server, and also configuration, everything is open source. So you can find on GitHub.
It's super cool what you've done. Okay, so, and clearly you understand how to make things really low power. What do you think is next for Noli Labs or you? Are you going to come out with other products? Are you going to continue using LoRa for these things? What's the next year or two look like?
Right now we are testing the market, what the people want, how do they are working with the LoCo. And so we have to make it waterproof, because right now LoCo is not waterproof. So it is one of our biggest disadvantages, we can say. But this is because of the, we have low production volume. So we have to make a mold for the plastic. So right now we are using the 3D printed, high quality 3D printed cases. And when they increase the batch, so we will make it waterproof. So this is one of our biggest disadvantages.
Got it. Okay. So the next move is just to make this thing waterproof and go to higher production. And then I guess the obvious question there is, are you going to pull in investors for that? Are you just going to take a bunch of pre-orders? How are you going to fund that?
No, we are not looking for investors, and we are just selling the devices.
You're going to do it yourself. Good for you guys.
There are many applications. We believe there are many applications for offline GPS tracking. So we have quite good product, I think. So we just need to get the feedbacks from the users and how do they use it and make the LoCo even better for them.
Super, super cool. Well, Tommy, I know you're ultra busy. Thanks a ton for coming on. And as a founder, like there's always something to do. So I appreciate you making the time and talking about how you're using LoRa and LoRaWANs to build a business. Thanks, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you, the one person in about 100,000 who actually has an interest in how this tiny little slice of the world works. Of course, this isn't just about you and me, it's about everyone in LoRaWAN and how we can work together to make an exceptional thing. LoRaWAN is a dispersed community with little pockets of knowledge all around the world, and most of them don't talk to each other as much as I'd like. So the first and best thing we can do to make this show better is to get more guests on who I don't even know exist. I want to talk to strangers. Strangers who are your friends. Please introduce me to the most rad LoRaWANer you know, or point them my way, or hell, reach out and give me a name. When it comes to running down LoRaWAN guests, I can track a falcon on a cloudy day. If you can remember metsci.show, you can find me. That's metsci.show. Metsci.show. Okay, so sharing knowledge by getting great guests on is the first and by far the most important thing we can do to make this better. The next best thing for the show to do is the usual stuff. Subscribe to the show, give it a review, share it in your corner of the world. Again, that's metsci.show. Finally, if you want to support the show financially, you can do that over at support.metsci.show. You'll see options there for one-time donations if you really like this show, as well as an ongoing subscription option if you think this show is worth supporting for the long term. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, sign up for a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 data credits for free. That's enough to run a sensor for about a year if you're firing every hour. The show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.